Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, November 6th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Oh, gold had a bad day today. Bloody day in the markets today, particularly the gold and silver markets. Just got creamed, and all based on a phony jobs report. We'll talk about that here after the market reports. Gold was down $16 today at $1,088. Silver was down $23 at $1,481. Platinum was down $10 at $944. Although palladium made it to the upside, up $11, but that's been creamed, so $621 for palladium. However, the USDX, based on that jobs report, just soared 1.23 at 99.17. You know, wait till you see what the euro did. Crude oil, 0.74 at 44.46. And the paper markets today, they were down most of the day, but they reversed last hour of trade. Didn't manage much, but the Dow was up 46 points at 17,910. The NASDAQ was up 19 at 51,47. The S&P basically unchanged at 2,099. 10-year yield, of course, with the numbers in the index, and that popped big today, 2.33% on the 10-year yield, up 0.09. And, of course, the euro also got hammered 1.25 to the downside at 1.07. It was just 1.14 a month ago. So foreign markets, basically not a lot of change. You have the European markets are beginning. They're hitting all-time highs again. They certainly reversed their downward flows of late. So, again, mixed numbers, mixed understandings of the markets. It doesn't feel like it should. And, of course, it all comes back to the job reports from this morning. And I guess the U.S. economy added 271,000 jobs in October. The unemployment rate fell to 5%. It's the lowest level since 2008, they tell us. And but hey, before today's job reports, everybody was concerned about the global economic slowdown. How can you have 1.5 GDP and have an upside like this in jobs? I mean, there isn't anything that makes sense. Oh, I forget. They can revise it 2 times, so all of their lies fit together, right, Al?
Well, that's the way it appears. I mean, this really is an almost spectacular jobs report. There's very little in it that's negative. You know, question is it true?
Well, the labor force participation rate is 62.4% for October, unchanged from September, and down from 62.6% for August. Well, this labor force participation rate is the lowest since October of 1977. So if things were so great, and there's a lot of other things we're going to talk about as far as, you know, how this economy, it's pretty much proven that they're lying and what they're pulling out. Of course, we have Christmas season, you know, and I remember last year we had the same thing, but I think September of last year was really a big, maybe, yeah, I think last year it was September that they showed because of holiday hiring. So you don't know, you know, they just distort things, Al.
I am aware. You just wonder how long they can continue to distort, how long the distortions can continue. And we're going to find out more, you know, just another month or so when we begin to get into the Christmas season. And, well, we'll be well into it in a month from now, but a few more weeks. We get into the Christmas season. We're going to see how much buying actually takes place. And I don't think they're going to be able to distort that to the same degree that they can distort things like employment and unemployment rates. That's a little harder to track and is open to a little more distortion. You get into the Christmas season, we're going to find out how many people, how many stores are making money, how many aren't. Is it a good season? Is it mediocre? Is it bad? And that's going to tell us a lot about whether these numbers are true or false.
There was 45,000 jobs gained in healthcare. You have professional business services gained 78,000. Construction added 31,000. And, you know, where is the manufacturing jobs that were added?
There weren't any. According to one report I have here, is zero. Zero manufacturing jobs. And they're blaming that on the global recession and the dollar being stronger, meaning the dollar's purchasing power is increasing, which is true. All right? And it's, and from my perspective, that's the immediate, or at least one of the immediate causes for the price of gold going down, dollars going up. It's just teeter-totter effect that's going on. But the problem, you know, we talk about this from time to time on the program, but the problem is that inflation, and particularly hyperinflation, will kill the dollar. We already know that the dollar is worth perhaps a nickel in terms of purchasing power compared to what it was back around 1971. It's lost 95% of its value. We can presume it's lost 95% of its value in the last 40-odd years. We can presume it's going to lose 96%, then 97%, then 98%, 99%, and we're going to get to a point where the dollar is virtually worthless. At that point in time, the dollar, in theory, is going to be destroyed, and it will be destroyed by inflation, and particularly hyperinflation. But deflation makes the dollar more valuable. And a lot of people will say, yay, that's a good thing. But not if you're a debtor.
Yeah.
If you're a debtor, you're paying off your debt with more expensive dollars. They have more purchasing power. For example, if I borrowed $1,000 a year ago, and I'm paying that $1,000 back today, I pay $1,000. But I have, at least according to the U.S. dollar index, the value of the dollar has increased by 22% or thereabouts in the last 15 months or so. Which means when I pay back a dollar today on my debt or $1,000 on my debt, I'm paying the equivalent of $1,222 or $1,220 in purchasing power. I'm losing $220 in purchasing power because of the deflation. It's terrible for debtors. And the biggest debtor in the world is the government of the United States. I am amazed, mystified, bewildered. I do not understand why they have allowed any semblance of deflation to occur for the last 15 months or so. It doesn't make sense to me. It puts the government in jeopardy. How do the... And I'm measuring it as per the U.S. dollar index. Right? That deflation should be intolerable for the government, and yet they've allowed it to continue. It effectively means that the national debt has grown by 22% or thereabouts in the last 15 months.
But look what
else. The numbers are the same, but the purchasing power has increased.
But look what else is happening around the world. You have Europe. You know, they started their stimulus about the same time that our dollars started to get stronger. And I do believe it's a change off. They know exactly what they're doing. We're working in concert with Europe, with the European Central Bank, the Federal Reserve is. And it's all a game to them to keep things going. We did manage to get to a point, you know, with all the stimulus that they created. Sure, it didn't help Main Street, but it helped Wall Street. And that's all that anybody cares about, the multinational corporations. That's all anybody cares about. So they have been able to ride the wave in order to, I believe, to work and commit to one another. You have all these trade agreements. All of these things are all working together. And I think we're at this point in time just taking the hit for a strong dollar at this point in time. I do believe it will reverse itself.
Oh, I agree. And I think it has.
And the thing because ultimately what you have. Yeah, I mean, what you have is, you know, and I hate to say this, I repeat it all the time, and I don't want to spend, you know, the whole program and segment on it. We have a fiat currency. With that fiat currency, you're going to have a dollar that's going to be devalued. We're going to have inflation, and it goes along this path, and that's not going to change. Governments want and need inflation. They will have inflation. And yet we do have inflation to some degree in many of our things that we deal with. I mean, they reject inflation by making the packages of your cereal boxes, they'll keep them the same size, but yet instead of getting 8 ounces, you're only going to get 7 and then 6 and then 5. Package remains the same. It looks like you're getting the same thing, but the amount of the product decreases, the price. Yeah, it might come down a little bit, but so does your product. Your product goes away. So there's so much deception in our economy. And because they have lied, they have rigged all of these markets. We talk about gold and silver being rigged. Hey, every market is rigged because it's been rigged by their monetary policy, whether they thought that they could control the booms and busts of an economy, and a fiat dollar tells you that they can't. And it's, you know, the day of reckoning is coming, and so, you know, along the way, we got lower prices in gold and silver. It's a great time to add to your portfolios or to readjust, but that's how I see it. And, you know, it's amazing to see this dollar at this, I mean, but we've been here before in the last how many months out? We've been at 100 already.
Yeah.
So here we are again.
And when you say 100, you're talking on the U.S.
dollar
index.
On the index, correct.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, here we had a client, customer, listener, send something in. Let me pull it up here on an email. And he wanted to give the numbers of the Baltic Dry Index.
Okay.
If everything is so good. And that index for the listeners measures the shipping costs for dry bulk commodities, minerals, metals like coal, iron, grain, and other food. The past 22.5 months had a high on 12/16/13 of 22.92, the low on 2/9/15 of 530, and a close on 11/2 of this year, 657. And at the peak of 2008, I think it was like 11,000. And we're at 657.
And what they're talking about, I don't think they're talking about cost. I think they're talking about volume, aren't they?
You were correct. The Baltic Dry Index,
yeah.
Correct.
What they're just saying is, look, the global economy is in absolutely a recession, if not a depression. That's what's happening. And, you know, one of the hallmarks of depression is the currency grows in value. During the Great Depression, people's just standard mantra, it was cash is king. If you had any cash and you were willing to spend it, you could get some spectacular deals, because cash would buy more and more and more and more as the days went back. But the thing about it, from my perspective, is you have to remember that Great Depression, we look back, it started in 1929. At that point in time, we had both gold and silver-based currency in this country. All right, you could get silver certificates backed by silver, gold certificates backed by gold. All right, your currency, your paper dollars were redeemable in gold and silver. They didn't pull gold out of circulation until 1933, 4 years into the Great Depression. They removed gold from circulation, and the gold certificates were no longer backed by gold. Domestically, they were. Overseas, foreign gold certificates were, but domestic dollars were no longer backed by gold, but they still continued to back with silver all the way up until 1968, which is, I don't know, 28 years or so after the Great Depression is deemed to have ended. The point I'm making is that the cash that was king during the Great Depression was not paper. It was gold and silver up until 1933, and it was silver thereafter. That was the cash that was king. The paper was just, it was, you could trade it in for the real cash anytime you wanted. I'm going to speculate that in the event we go into another depression, the cash that will be king
will still be gold.
It's going to be precious metals again.
Absolutely.
All right? We had it before, and that's really the lesson. People just, you know, they look at the Great Depression, and all they say is, oh, there was paper money. Yeah, there was, but it was backed. We didn't have a pure fiat currency in the Great Depression. And I doubt that we'll have one that'll survive in if we have another depression. And it does, you know, you look at the Baltic Index, and it's evidence that I think you can make a compelling case that we're really in a global depression.
Well,
I don't think that's really debatable, at least if you look at the Baltic Index. The amount of product that's being moved internationally has fallen so low. I don't see how you can call it just a recession. I think you have to say we're in a global depression. Now, where are we in the United States? In my mind, at least a recession right now. Absolutely. Maybe a depression. We'll watch and see.
There's another index, Al, called the Harpex, and this focuses on containers freight.
Uh-huh.
And it's regarded as a current activity indicator because it measures and charts the changes in freight rates for container ships. And these container ships typically carry a wide variety of products, finished products, like factory products, that are headed for retail markets at the other end of the supply chain. So, you know, if you even look at that index, and if you go back 3 months, I mean, it has tanked. It had a high of 577, and we're at 395. If you go back 10 years, the peak was 1402. We had a big drop in 2008. It came back, and it started dropping around 2011, and it dropped big. It stayed flat, and now the beginning of this year, it went up a little bit, and now it's tanking once again. So another index that shows. So you have two indexes that are showing, hey, things are not flowing.
Yeah, I know. And yet the jobs report here in the United States says it's all good.
People are just, yeah. Well, I think that the health care, I think you mentioned that it was due to, you know, the baby boomers that are getting sick and so forth. I believe it has a lot to do with Obamacare. You need more and more people to process those forms. But you know what? You know, that's why our health insurance rates are skyrocketing.
Not only the health insurance rates, the other thing is the government's debt. Who is paying for these increased costs? And at least some of it, I'm going to presume, is being paid for by government borrowing.
Yeah,
and government's borrowing, while the dollar's becoming stronger and stronger, it it's a formula that can't work forever, that's for sure. Government needs inflation. It's not an accident that we had inflation persistently throughout most of my lifetime. It's not an accident that the Federal Reserve keeps talking about we've got to restore 2% inflation. The system needs inflation in order to pay off its debt with cheaper dollars. If we don't get inflation, this whole, the government's going to collapse. They're going to have to walk away. One of these days, they're going to have to come up and say, guess what? We're broke. We can't pay the debt. Too bad for you. All right? All you people holding treasuries and bonds and the rest of that, we're going to give you an IOU or some other chump change, but you're not going to get paid. We're going to take a break. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. I'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
I just want to advise the listeners, Greg Hunter will be joining us on Tuesday. He'll be here for the full program. And we have the AU $5 Liberty gold pieces. They did come down a little bit, $345, with the big drop in today's price of gold. So 1-800-375-4188. Visit the website. Make sure you sign up for the weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to these programs Monday through Friday, live, 4 p.m. Eastern time. And, of course, the archives are always listed. And I do believe we have a caller, Jim from West Virginia.
Oh, Jim. I'm back to torture you again. Halloween. Okay, I have 4 points to make about inflation to clarify a lot of this. And I've kind of waited to make sure that I've got some good information. I'm in occasional contact with people in contact and with folks in Europe and a few other places. Okay, now, we keep hearing inflation, deflation, flip, up. Let me clarify this. Okay, yeah, the USDX is up. That means that the so-called dollar is stronger in relation to the other currencies. Now, from what I've picked up, we're running 20-25% inflation in France, Portugal, Spain, Italy, Greece, maybe a little worse. This is before all the invasion, because I haven't talked to hardly anybody since the invasion of migrants. But I'm going to invent a commodity for this example. Now, it's true that the so-called dollar is worth, oh, it's gone from 70 to 90 in the last, 6 months or however long it's been. I ain't tracking it real close. But
15 months, thereabouts.
I'm going to invent something for this one. It's called a European coconut. I don't think there is such a thing. There might be a few of them. But let's say that Europe grows coconuts, and last year they were €1 per coconut. And this year they're 1.25 euros per coconut. Now, in relation to European coconuts, the dollar is not stronger. It is not deflating, okay? In relation to the other manipulated currencies, yes, so the idea that we have a stronger dollar is a delusion. Now, let me go on. I've got three more. Real, what I'll call, some people call it organic, but real classical, real inflation, deflation occurs in this manner. I use a Southern West Virginia example. Extended coal strikes. There'd be a fellow down there, oh, Lordy, we haven't had a paycheck in a whole long time. Oh, honey, I can sell my 243 deer rifle with a super-duper scope on it. They're worth about $1,200. Well, 3 months later, he's lucky to get $600 out of it. I knew a gun dealer collector who'd go down to the southern coal fields and clean them out every so often. Boats, ATVs, motorcycles, you name it. So that's a very real, organic deflation where the dollar, even the Federal Paper Reserve notes, were king. Because actually food's king, folks. Don't tell anybody. Okay, so that's on the smaller scale. Macro scale. 1930s, there was a radio which was something like $30 on a storeroom. Store window, and that thing was probably about 1,000 today, I reckon, probably maybe more, I don't know, but anyway, for whatever reasons, they couldn't sell it. It was knocked down finally to $20.50, at which point my grandfather bought it. They did not get any more radios in, and the radio factory went belly up because there just wasn't enough money, whether it's paper currency or other currency. Now, I'm going to throw a real curve at you. I know that for decades, I saw photographic evidence of my dad's files. He insisted that I burn after he died, and I burned them, believe me. Okay, we have been shipping out pallet loads of Federal Reserve notes slated for destruction for decades. Even Bob Chapman wouldn't say this on air because I emailed him about the whole thing. Okay, and I say it, and I'm surprised somebody didn't kill me for it, but for whatever reason, we hear of plane loads of C-130s with Federal Reserve notes on. Those were Federal Reserve notes are supposed to be destroyed. You got these $100 Federal Reserve notes all fresh and crisp. I wonder why. Now, when the word gets out that the so-called dollar is going down faster than in other currencies, as it has in a few South American countries, that will create what's called a carry trade. People say, oh, let's get those dollars back over to America, get something out of them, so I'll fly back with some or another. But we will see a huge influx of paper dollars, much more than they say are overseas, because of all these pallet loads of worn-out Federal Reserve notes used to pay off criminals stateside and overseas. So put that in your pipe, smoke it, or run up a flagpole, or whatever you do with an idea. But that is what this boils down to. Now, yes, it's true. We are seeing the dollar worth more in relation to commodities, such as industrial stuff. But insofar as overall, no, we won't see it either. Something else I got to mention here. Real wealth is produced by, once again, agriculture, mining, manufacturing, I don't care whether it's in a cottage industry or big factory, and trade. If you can find something which is worth a dollar here at this place, and they want to sell it for a dollar, you can go someplace else and sell it for three. That does create wealth for both. So, unless and or until we pay more attention to real agriculture, because right now we import over a third of our food, and real mining, you know what that's all about, raw materials for manufacturing, and real manufacturing, we don't even produce enough clothes or shoes to clothe us or to put shoes on us, and quit taking all the impediments off of trade and tell all these Washington redcoat corporations like the DEA, FDA, you name it, Department of Agriculture, to pound sand. They're just more than racketeering corporations. I'll say some more about that someday. We ain't going nowhere. So they can manipulate all the numbers they want, but we are going in a steady downhill stream to add more government jobs, more government welfare. They keep destroying the private sector, folks. Just get ready. That's what gold and silver and financial survival is all about, folks. Okay, I'll shut up.
All right, Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
Let me say this about the coconut example. When they're growing European coconuts, and they cost a euro last year, and they cost 1.25 euros this year, that's evidence of inflation in the euro. It takes more euros to buy a coconut. That means the euros have lost value. That's inflation. And what's happening is while they are having inflation in Europe, right, on the U.S. dollar index, the way it's constructed, we got the dollar on one end of the teeter-totter, and we've got half a dozen currencies, including the euro, on the other end of the teeter-totter. It's just the nature of the index. When those half a dozen currencies, when they are inflating, the dollar is necessarily deflating. And what amazes me, surprises me, and bewilders me, is that the government of the United States is willing to accept deflation in the dollar in order to allow Europe and Japan, particularly, to try to inflate their currencies in order to try to stimulate their economy. Insofar as we're tangled up on this U.S. dollar index, when they're successfully inflating their currency, they are indirectly deflating ours, which is contrary to the interests of the government being the major debtor. And deflation is great if you're a saver. If you've got wealth stored away, hooray for deflation. My wealth is becoming greater. But if you have debt, the debt becomes greater during a period of deflation. And again, you know, I don't believe the government can continue to allow deflation. They're doing it. It's a self-sacrificial act, as near as I'm able to understand. They're willing to sacrifice themselves for now, but there has to be a moment where they turn around and say, that's it, enough. Now it's our turn to inflate. You people can deflate for a while. All right? Or maybe we just get rid of the U.S. dollar index and we stop making the comparison. I'm not sure what has to be done here, but they cannot accept dollar deflation in this country without running up the debt, and they can't pay the debt as it is. It makes sense to me that they allow deflation.
I mean, they've been able to create this illusion with the zero rates that we talked about this time, these multinational corporations. I mean, they borrow money, buy back their stocks. They have inflated stock prices. And I mean, it's the whole system. They're all the crooks are working together. They're all getting handily wealthy, more powerful, and it seems to be working at this point in time. But you're right. I mean, they just increased our debt limit. They can go deeper and deeper in debt. I mean, the whole thing is completely bizarre, Al. I mean,
it's insane. It's the kind of thing. The only thing that supports this is public ignorance.
Yeah, it's not
most
even
people,
yeah, it's not even confidence.
People don't have a clue to what we're talking about.
It's not confidence.
Therefore, they just say, well, I don't know. I can go to the store with a $100 bill and get some groceries. As long as it spends, people are happy.
Yeah, I mean, it's not confidence anymore. You're right. It's ignorance. And the thing of it is, as long as they have enough money to pay their taxes, so, you know, at least they can get, you know, the government can buy to some degree, but just wait till those checks, wait till that Social Security, just wait till those checks can't get paid anymore. And that's not that far away. It really is. You know, it's puzzling.
You know, you can see it coming, and at times you wish. I mean, it appears to me. I think I can see it coming.
Absolutely.
Right? Maybe I'm mistaken, but I think I can see what's coming. I just can't see how fast it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're watching a tsunami. If you've seen any of the images of the tsunami, everybody's on the beach.
The water's
sucked out. Something strange happens. The water starts flowing out. And say, gee, that's odd. What's going on here? And then they catch a glimpse of a wave on the horizon. And they say, well, look at that. Isn't that strange? And all of a sudden they realize, uh-oh. And then they start trying to run uphill as fast as they possibly can. Well, this is like that tsunami in the sense that we can see the waters being drawn back from the beach. We can catch a glimpse of a wave on the horizon that's surprisingly high. And we understand, or at least some of us understand, this is going to hit shore. Mm-hmm. If you're on shore when it hits, you're going to get hurt, so better start moving. All right, we've got to get up, but how soon is the tsunami going to get here? Is it going to be here in 2 minutes? Is it going to be here in 10 minutes? How much time do we have? And I don't know. And that's the frustrating thing. Once you can see this, but you can't, and you get to a point where you almost wish the tsunami would hit just to get it over with. All right, just do it and be done with it. It's like pulling a bandage off a wound or something. Just pull the damn thing and let's be done with it and get on with our lives. But it keeps on dragging on and dragging on. Here's an article. This is a little bit, this may not be precisely following what we just talked about, but it's involved. In the first week in November, the gold coverage ratio, which measures the amount of paper claims for every ounce of physical gold, hit a new all-time high of 293 ounces of paper per ounce of registered physical gold. They're talking about COMEX. For every ounce of gold that can be delivered at COMEX right now, they have 293 separate one-ounce claims against that ounce. This is similar to me running a Cadillac car dealership, and I've got 20 cars out on the lot, and I've only got 10 potential buyers. What do you think is going to happen to the price of my Cadillacs? It's going to fall down to try to attract more buyers. If I've got 20 Cadillacs on the lot and I have 293 people that say, I want to buy that Cadillac, I want to buy that Cadillac, and for each Cadillac, what do you think is going to happen to the price of my Cadillacs? It's going up. One way or another, you can't have 293 people saying, I want that Cadillac, and they're all fighting about the same Cadillac without the price going up. Well, fine, let's have an auction. Who's going to pay me, you know, the highest amount of money for my Cadillac, given that there's 293 of you that want each one of the 20 Cadillacs I have? If the Cadillacs were selling manufacturer's suggested retail price is $75,000, do you think I'm going to sell for $75,000? Do you think that Cadillac's only worth $75,000 when there's 293 claims, potential buyers on that Cadillac? It's not going to be sold for $75,000. It's going to be sold for $150,000 or a couple $100,000. I don't know what the price is going to be, but you got to be a terrible, terrible businessman to suppose that Cadillac is going to be sold at manufacturer's suggested retail when the demand is as high, 293-1. We have 293 claims. In theory, 293 buyers for every ounce of gold on COMEX. What it's just telling us is, look, sooner or later, I know they're running a scam, I know they're running a scheme, I know they are risking losses to do irrational things. And the irrational thing is, well, yeah, I'll take another paper claim on, I'll join, it's 200, you only got 293 claims? Let me take a claim. I'll be 294. Melody, you could be 295. What do you think? Nobody should be doing that. I mean, it's crazy. It's insane. It's part of the problem we have as a system that has become irrational to the point where someone needs to commit this system to a rubber room. It's crazy. We'll talk more about it when we return to financial survival in just a moment or two. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom, and we'll be right back.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, we had a listener. He sent us an email. Let me pull it up. I'm sorry. I sort of started looking at other things and lost his email. Let me bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
But he was questioning.
Asking thing again, aren't you?
Yes.
You women are famous.
Hush. He wants us to discuss the fact that the Federal Reserve website had changed its domain from .org to .gov. He says he's tried the .org and it does not work anymore. He says you're redirected to the Federal Reserve .gov. And
But if you look at the New York Federal Reserve,
correct,
for example,
it shows .org.
And the implication is this. When it says .org or .com or whatever else, it indicates that it's a private entity. It's in the private sector, right? We would expect to see IBM.net or .org or .com. We would expect to see General Motors, GM.org, .net, .com. We don't expect to see General Motors .gov. .gov indicates that this is a government agency. We don't expect to see IBM.gov. It indicates IBM was a general agency, a government agency. We don't expect to see that. And so what's interesting about the email we have here is someone is alleging that he is implying that at some point in just the recent past, the Federal Reserve the Federal Reserve System has gone from federalreserve.org, meaning a private entity, to federalreserve.gov, implying that it's become a government entity in the last little while. Now, I don't know what the I don't know for a fact that the federalreserve.org didn't change to .gov a week ago, a month ago, 5 years ago. I don't know when this change took place or if it did take place. But if the claim is correct and the email is correct that it was .org, and at some time and at some point in the recent past it has changed to .gov, that's interesting information. That indicates that the Federal Reserve is has either become a government agency or that the Federal Reserve has been a government agency all along but masquerading as a private agency and has decided to give up the masquerade and abandon the .org and just say, all right, we're government, let's admit it.
Well, what, their charter expired when?
Now, there's a good
couple
point.
Couple years ago, and as far as I know, there was never much information after that charter expired.
Last year? I think it was 2014.
Yeah.
I think it's it had a 100-year charter, and I think it started in, in 1914. I think it ended in 2014. Mm-hmm. So maybe that explains what happens here. What happened here? That may be, you know, it's no longer what happened. We don't have a Federal Reserve charter anymore, and that's a very good point. How is this entity functioning if it's no longer chartered?
Which I can't believe they would bring the Federal Reserve under the government because there's so much debt there. And, you know, why would the government want to absorb? I mean, at least if it was a private corporation.
It's not going to absorb. They're going to impose that debt on you and me.
Well, I know that. But, I mean, it's a private corporation. So wouldn't that debt, if that failed, would be absorbed? I don't know. Maybe it's just, you know, semantics or, you know.
No, I don't think it's just semantics. And even if it was, you know, I've been studying law for 30 years or more. I'm not a lawyer and the rest of that. I didn't go to school, but I've been studying law. And the one thing you learn is it's, you know, it says, like Bill Clinton said, it all depends on what the meaning of it's is. Right? Semantics are critical to law. They can't just say, oh, it's just semantics. Oh, no, that's big. You know, law is all about the semantics and if and how you define them. And how do you define the meaning of is? It can change whether, if you can change the meaning of is, that change can determine whether you're going to pay a fine or go to jail or go free. What does that word mean? And that's what the law is all, I mean, the definitions are the law of the law. So the semantics, they get into the same thing. I mean, this is a big situation. And I suspect, if I had to guess, and that's all I'm doing, I think the idea that the Federal Reserve Charter expired, right, I think, in 2014. Now, this is if it just recently changed from .org to .gov, it may be that it's been operating in limbo for the past year. I don't know. But what is the legal validity and standing of the Federal Reserve if it's no longer chartered?
That's a question for you to talk to James Corbett, because he recently, I think earlier this year, did some extensive research into the Federal Reserve, and he should know that question.
That's the thing. That's a very, it's really a very interesting question.
I have a question.
But we'll have to save an answer for another day. We don't know. We can only speculate at this time.
Got a question for you. Will she or won't she?
Will she or won't she?
Will she or won't she?
That's the question.
1 minute answer, Al.
With who?
Janet Yellen. Will she or won't she raise rates in December? 1 minute.
We are told that because of the spectacular jobs report that came in today, it's going to increase the probability she's going to raise those rates.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Right.
If she won't raise the rates, given the jobs report, then it's an admission that we're in big trouble. Something extraordinary is happening. if she does raise the rates, it's evidence that, well, things may be actually improving to some degree or becoming
With today's report, she would almost have to do even just a token. She'd have to do a token raise. But
yeah, but this all 0.25% is. That's all they've been talking about. No one's been talking about raising the interest rate by 10% or 5% or 3%. They're talking about
But once they start, the thought behind that is once they start, they will continue. And I saw an interesting report about, like, over a period of 5 to 10 years, if they raise the rates to up to 3%, you're tacking on, I don't know, a couple trillion dollars.
Well, I understand.
Yeah.
You mean you're tacking that much on in
interest
paid by the government as it borrows more money.
And if it goes up to 5%, I mean the number of trillions is incredible.
Yeah,
and this is just in a five year period. So
yeah.
You know, even if she does a quarter token now and a quarter token next year and a quarter, I mean they can't do it over. They just can't do it. Jim from West Virginia called back.
I sneaked back in, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Okay. I'm surprised y'all let me on twice in a row, not less twice in one day.
I'm still in a state of shock myself. I'm trying to catch my breath. Hand me the oxygen tank.
Well, you were over your minute, Al. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay. Now, okay, the DEA is a private corporation. FBI, FDA is a private corporation. Department of Transportation, a private corporation incorporated in Illinois. .gov means nothing. Zero. Nada. Zilch. Nothing. I'll let it go with that. Catch you later. Thank you twice.
I don't agree with that. I mean, it means something. If it doesn't mean anything, why change it? All right? Why change from .org to .gov? It means something. It may not mean something legally. Maybe it just means something politically. We need to change to .gov in order to make people think that this is a government agency. We'll deceive them by changing the domain sign of .org to .gov. But they don't make these moves just because they threw a dart at a dartboard and they said, what do we do today? Well, let's change the domain from .org to .gov. It means something, but not necessarily at law, maybe only at politics. One other point, Melody, you were talking about the reason and the danger if the Federal Reserve raises interest rates this December. It creates the presumption that they will raise them another 0.25% in the near future and then another one after that. And before we're done, we have a significant increase in interest rates. That may be correct. But I am still tempted by the idea. Sovereign Man, I can't think of his name right now. He runs a publication called The Sovereign Man. He wrote an article about a month ago, pointed out that the Federal Reserve's balance sheet is only 1.3% in the black. They have 1.3% more assets than they do liabilities on their balance sheet. I am of the opinion that in the event their balance sheet went into the red, meaning they had less assets than they had liabilities, I think the Federal Reserve is technically insolvent and arguably bankrupt. I understand that when you raise interest rates, you diminish the face value, the market price of a bond. Not the face value, but the market price of a bond. If the Fed has such a narrow, positive 1.3% assets over liabilities in their balance sheet, if that's true, and if the majority of the assets in their balance sheet are federal United States treasuries and bonds, then if they raise the interest rate by just 0.25%, they're going to diminish the market value of their own bonds in their own balance sheet. And in my suspicion, and that's all it is, if they were to raise by 0.25%, it might be enough to diminish the market value of their bonds by enough where they no longer have a positive balance sheet. It might be enough to wipe out by reducing the value. If it reduced the value of the bonds by 2%, it would wipe out the 1.3% positive balance that they have right now. They'd be technically insolvent. And what does that mean? I don't think it means that the Federal Reserve is going to go out of business. I don't think they're going to shut their doors because of it. But on the other hand, if they have to admit, well, technically we're insolvent and we can't pay our bills, we have less assets than liabilities, it can't be good for business. It's not the sort of thing that they'd want to brag about. It's not the sort of thing that they'd want the public to understand. I suspect this is at least part of the reason why they have been so reluctant to raise the interest rate. It's going to cut their value of their own assets.
But that would
protect the people or the economy of the United States.
But that would only happen if those are maturing at any given time. As long as they're not maturing, they would still keep their face value. So I'm more inclined to think that they have
face value, but I don't think they'll keep their market value. Their market value is going to move the same time as the interest rates move, in my opinion.
Only if they're maturing, only if they have to get paid.
If I have a bond that I want to sell, I don't care if it's maturing today or 10 years from now. If interest rates go up, is the bond going to sell for the same? If I have a price on that bond today, if the interest rates go up tomorrow, will I be able to get the same amount for that 20-year bond or that 10-year bond that I could get today? I think the price will change to reflect the change in the interest rates.
Well, either or, it's not a good scenario.
No, I understand, but it's a question
whether they can pay the interest. You know, I think they can't pay the interest on the debt, and whether their assets are revalued and shows them insolvent. You know, it's either or. It's a bad situation, taxpayer and the people of this country, and there's consequences that are coming due.
Well, this may be why they went to this .gov thing. If they were functioning as a private entity previously and now they're about to go bankrupt, maybe they want to dump the debt on the American people. If they're .gov, who knows?
Maybe
they can talk the American people into paying their debt.
They're too big to fail.
I guarantee you, if you think J.P. Morgan Chase is too big to fail, somebody up there thinks the Federal Reserve is too big to fail, and they will do what they have to do to hold it together.
Well, we know a lot of these big banks, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, they all changed the way they hold a large portion of their derivatives. So if and when that problem occurs again, taxpayers are responsible.
Yeah, that's the idea. Get out from under debt.
It's legal now.
Get out from under the debt.
Yeah.
Yes. It's the theft is legal. We're going to charge some people who didn't gain, didn't invest, didn't understand, had nothing to do with it, but they're going to get stuck. If there are any losses, we're going to stick it to Joe Sixpack.
Oh, my gosh, folks, if you don't have gold and silver, you're just going to be, I don't want to say that word, but you're going to be in a lot of trouble. And I wanted to talk just a little bit today about there was two reports out today about Ben Carson, about him being caught in a lie. However, there's been more reports since we started this program that, I mean, they're just saying that the Politico is lying. And I know Politico isn't the best of places to get your news and reports and so forth. And also I wanted to talk a little bit about the Trump video and his appearance on Saturday Night Live.
We got 20 seconds to do it.
But I guess we'll just have to see, wait till Monday.
All right, we'll wait till Monday and see what happens by then. Have a good weekend, folks. We're out of time. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom. We will be back on Monday. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? But still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too fast. In my life.